has
Karış
joined.
tavuk. Karış tavuk.
Karış tavuk.
Karış tavuk.
Has joined.
We'll start in about 1 minute.
Gabriella
has joined.
Karış tavuk.
Karış
tavuk.
Has joined.
Hi. Hag Sameach.
Hag Sameach. As we normally do on our Rosh Chodesh events, we'll start differently than our normal classes. We'll start with the verse for certainty. It comes from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. It's coming from Parashat Yitro. It's known as Pasuk 29. And we start with the Lashem Yehud first. Lishem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu Uthilu Uthilu Urchimu Leachda Lishem Yud He Bavhe The Yehud Ashim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Masei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Masei Yadeinu Kananeinu. Rabbi Abba Amar, the Kamatar, Ane Nam de Kucha, Rihu, Koma de Aved, the Ela Witata, Kola Ihu, Kishot Bilvada, Dikshot, the Laid La Mila Bialma, Ivae Barnash.
Has joined.
Yaulan Haga Beyakalana Dehakulu Ovada Dig Shotinun Wikola Itzeri Be Alma. It's been a while since I've translated that verse. Rabbi Abba said, in many places we have learned that whatever the Holy One, blessed be He, does, or below,
has joined,
is all true, and His works are true. And there is nothing in the world that man needs to reject or find despicable, for all are works of truth, and are all needed in the
has
world.
Has joined.
Commentary? Reread this pasuk again and again. Use it as a repetitive phrase. Why? Because this is the ultimate oneness of Hashem. The wise will understand, and no more need be said. If you do not understand, you may send me a question, and we will work on developing your intuition so that you would understand how this verse connects to certainty. The coming year, the year 5781, is a year of redemption, provided we are ready to be redeemed. By studying a verse from Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 21. We are connecting and helping to prepare our vessels for the light of redemption. Because as we know, the light of redemption will burn the non-righteous and will be pleasure to the righteous. The light is coming. The redemption is coming. Are you prepared? Ugamehem ekach lakohanim lalevim amar Hashem. We've been studying various meditations, various comments on meditations by various sages. We started on Tu B'Av, and we will continue until Rosh Hashanah. And we will be continuing to Yom Kippur, because Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are all unified days. What are we studying? We're studying a statement by the Kotzker Rebbe. Kedoshim tihiyu. Be holy. Kodem ha-mensh. Unach dem helek. Mensh. First, be a mensh. Then be holy. Uvamakom. She'ein anashim. Ishtadal Behayot Ish Ish. In a place where there are no men, strive to be a man. A commentator known as Mary. That's the name of the book that he wrote. Mary comments that if one cannot find a mentor, if one cannot find a friend to teach him and offer him constructive criticism, he should strive to be his own leader and to offer himself corrective advice, striving to grow until he becomes a person of distinction. Furthermore, a person should never be satisfied with his spiritual attainments. No matter where he is on the spiritual ladder, the Sulam, Gematria 130, connecting to Mount Sinai, the gift of the Torah, no matter where one is on his spiritual ladder, even in a place where there are no people who occupy a greater spiritual place than he has attained, he should not rest on his laurels. Under such circumstances, the Mishnah instructs him that he must still strive to be a man, seeking to emulate the great people of earlier times and working towards greater achievements. My own personal comments, which is unwritten, is to realize that if there is no one who is spiritually greater than you, you need to lift up the others so that together you can grow higher spiritually. Uch Haya Omer. Lo alich ha-milaka ve-gibur ve-lo ata ben horin levatel imena. He, Rabbi Tarfon, used to say, it is not upon you to complete the task, but you are not free to be idle from it either. A mensch is not silent in the face of wrongdoing. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow would go out into the public domain on Shabbat with a strap that is between its horns. A person may not allow his animal to go into the public thoroughfare on Shabbat wearing a burden. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah held that a decorative band was not a burden, but the sages did not want to distinguish between this and any other thing that the animal might carry. The Talmud says that this was not Rabbi Elazar's cow, but that it was his neighbor's. But because he was silent and did not restrain his neighbor, it was referred to as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow. The message is that for a mensch, if you have the ability to stop someone from committing a sin, but do not do so, it is considered as if, though you yourself have committed the sin. Indeed, the Talmud says that if a person fails to restrain an individual from doing a sin, he is held culpable for that person's sin. If he had the ability to stop his community from committing a sin, he is culpable for the sin of the entire community. Some folks choose to remain passive when wrongs are committed. They say, "I don't want to get involved." The Talmud holds them culpable. The Torah holds them culpable. When we see wrongdoing, we must voice our protest, even though we may be powerless to stop it. And I am adding, the halakha is to admonish a friend. One must first know in his heart that he loves that person. Plus, ignorance is not an excuse under both the spiritual and the physical laws. Contemplate on this Rosh Chodesh Bet of the month of Elul. How does one reconcile these two seemingly contradictory spiritual laws? Here is one answer. One is held accountable for the sin of his friend because he does not love him in his heart. Our Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. What you just heard was the number 20, plus the number 26, plus the number 39, plus the number 45. Together they total 130, representing a ladder. We say this five times so that we connect to the consciousness of makshava, thought. And makshava can be parsed into chashav ma, think of what. What is a code word? Ma is a code word. Make your connections to the code words and bring that consciousness into Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey. is a different set of meditations. This group of 40 days that runs from now to Yom Kippur, Rosh Chodesh, Elul Bet, today is the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Elul is called Chodesh HaKheshbon, a month of accounting. It is also considered the month of preparation for a new spiritual year, an important year being the year of redemption, if we are prepared. The spiritual year begins with Rosh Hashanah. The two themes of Elul, accounting and preparation, they are interdependent, because how can we account for the past if we are not preparing for the future? And Elul, the word in Aramaic, Elul, means searching. We examine the mistakes of the past year in order not to repeat them. In particular, this means taking an honest look at what is trapping us and preventing us from truly moving forward. Ask yourself the question and record, whether in writing or digitally, record your answers to this question. Can I fundamentally change myself to become a different person? A person who is truly different from who I am today. Do I want to become that person that is truly different than who I am today? Do I want to improve myself from who I am right now? Our handout tonight is available on the unique astrological times link, and it's relatively near the top. The unique astrological times is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When the landing page opens up, very close to the top, you'll see Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the link is the Elul blog for 5780, and that's where we will start our handout today. The purpose of our Rosh Chodesh connection is to take control of the energy of the month of Elul. What this means is the goal is to eliminate any negative aspect of this energy. At a bare minimum, it's to reduce that negative energy while we increase the positive energy. Because everything is in balance. What one thing goes down, the other must go up. We're starting at the location titled Commentary for 5780. Rosh Chodesh Elul is one of four New Years. You're all familiar with the new year of Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Chodesh Elul is a new year also. And this particular new year is very little mentioned. Most people wouldn't know what it is. It needs to be mentioned more often in our current situation. Because the Rosh Chodesh Elul is Rosh Hashanah LaBehimot. LaBehimot. Behimot is the Hebrew word for animal. It's the new year of the animals. You know that Tu B'Shvat is the new year for the vegetables, for the plants, for the trees. And we know Rosh Hashanah is the new year's for people. And we know that the new year of Nisan is the new year of the kings. And the fourth new year is Rosh Chodesh Elul, Hashanah LaBehimot, the new year of the animals. The person who wrote the academic article, that you, there's a link on our handout. This person is a friend of mine. He's very active in ecological groups. He's asking us to focus for a few moments on what promises to become the next Tu B'Shvat. He teaches that Judaism evolves, that Judaism changes. This is not a well-accepted teaching. But if you look at the history of Judaism, you see that Judaism does change because the generations change. He's asking us to recognize this change with respect to Rosh Hashanah LaBehimot and perhaps start a ritual of celebrating the animal new year. What would that look like? Like the new year for the trees, B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah LaBehimot is a fiscal year marker. Just as Tu B'Shvat evolved into something more meaningful, a Seder focused on Kabbalah and more recently on ecology, so too is this Rosh Hashanah evolving into something more meaningful, focusing on animal rights, extinction of certain animal species, God forbid, and related issues. Here's an additional commentary on the month of Elul 5780. It's written by a recently passed away sage, Rabbi Aidan Steinsaltz. You may have heard of Rabbi Steinsaltz. You may have heard of his passing. He's very much involved in translating the Talmud into English, but also into German, and also into French, and also into another language. He's been very involved in Judaism, even though he was raised in a secular home. He's been living in Israel for some 80 years, 70 years, maybe 65. I have been teaching for a number of years that we no longer have righteous people that are revealed in our generation. Rabbi Steinsaltz has not been revealed while he was alive. And our procedures are that he won't be revealed until later. as we evaluate his history, his life, what his journey brought him. But he was a great Torah sage. Whatever the final judgment of the historical record is, Rabbi Steinsaltz says, the month of Elul and its sign of Virgo, the counting down way to Rosh Hashanah is beginning. Kodesh Elul Tov u'mevorach to all of us, to the whole world. Below is a beautiful article by Rabbi Aidan Steinsaltz about the blessed month of Elul. Prepare for the new year. The custom of public contemplation before the high holidays give Jews a chance to ask each other, where are we going? The beginning and end of each year are times that stimulate all of us to think, even those who are not in the habit of making a daily accounting of this world. We all tend to do so at these moments, during these days that are so conducive to examining, summing up, planning, and thinking. Beloved are the people of Israel who were given by the Almighty times and festivals at the beginning and the end of each year for contemplation, for receiving answers to our most urgent questions, and for confronting the challenges that we may face in the hopefully better days ahead. And if this is true every year, how much more must we think and repent and make good decisions when the days of the year give us no rest, and when the routine of daily life blurs our most fundamental thoughts? What is life about? What do we live for? Where are we going? The days of the month of Elul in the following month, the seventh month, Tishrei, with its numerous festivals and special days, are bountiful months in their mitzvot and in their prayers. All this is so much to take in that we may become insensitive to the day's messages. Furthermore, the month of Elul and the festivals of Tishrei each demand very different intentions on our part. The month of Elul does not have a specific focus, unlike Yom Kippur, which is a single day of concentration, and the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which have a stern aspect to them, and yet are still days of joy. And they are not at all like the days of Sukkot, which is significant joy, and Simchat Torah, additional joy. They're days of relaxation and joy. And this kind of preparation for the festivals is an ancient custom. Our rabbis say we should begin the public study of an upcoming festival quite a long time before its arrival. Halakhically, it's said a month before it arrives. Beyond the need to teach and remind ourselves of the festival's laws, there is also a psychological purpose to this study, to prepare ourselves both for the rituals that we will perform and for our mindset. How we are going to enter into the festival. This is the work of plowing, which requires the soil to take in the gifts of heavenly bounty and make them grow. In all aspects of spiritual life, there is, of course, room for a great amount of privacy and individuality. In the words of the wisest of all men, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger has a part in its joys. private inner experiences cannot be fully shared with others. Perhaps it is only the ministering angels who can accept from each other. Still, he fashions their hearts alike. An alternate translation is he creates their hearts together. Despite all the differences and partitions dividing one soul from another, Jewish souls are bound in some way. The closeness enables us to be givers, sharers, but also receivers, even in those things that come from the innermost recesses of our hearts. We must therefore try to receive from each other's virtues and emotions that will help each and every one of us to find our own path to the Almighty Creator. This is the month of Elul. I am adding some additional information. The term plowing is a term used by the Kabbalah Center. It means preparing the world for Mashiach and the redemption. This is the upcoming year of redemption. The plowing begins today. Elul is a transition month. It is bringing us to the end of one year and the beginning of another. This is an aspect of duality, yet it is a different duality than what we experienced in the month of Av, where the first 10 days were one type of energy and the last 20 days another type of energy. Elul's duality is different. The universe is still in a frame of judgment. And that is very clear from the sign of Betulah, the sign of Virgo, because the attributes of Virgo are details. It is very difficult for the sign of Virgo to see the full picture, the whole picture. But to see the trees, each individual tree in the forest, this is the trait of the Virgo. But to see the forest, you have to go to the Sagittarius. You have to go to other signs. The Virgo finds it extremely difficult to see the forest. But asked about a detail, right at the tip of their tongue, ready to go. And this is the energy that we are going to be exposed to. We will see details. What details will we see? The details of the mistakes that we did during this past year. We will hear from people we haven't heard from in a while. Why will we hear from these people? One of two reasons. Either you did a mistake that hurt them, or they did a mistake that hurt you. There you're being brought back together to cleanse the mistake. Begin by forgiving them, even before they ask for your forgiveness. Begin by asking them for your forgiveness, even before they've realized that you have hurt them. The universe is still in a frame of judgment, yet it gives us opportunities to utilize this judgment, to decide on our own, to return to our decisions that we have created the chaos that are in our lives. It lets us change who we are, so the effects of the chaos cannot find me. Cannot find the perpetrators of the actions that the chaos belongs to. This is what Teshuvah does. all that chaos that's hanging in the universe, waiting to see you, to find you, to drop on you like a bomb, can't see you, can't find you, doesn't know where you are. It looks through every corner of the universe. But you're not there because you are not that same person. Because you have judged yourself. You have made changes to yourself. What happens to the chaos? It can't find you. So the energy of that chaos returns to its location, its place. This is what happens during Elul. If each one of us is doing our work, and for each one who is doing it, the spiritual work, the chaos for the next year is being changed. It will not find you. Elul is a very challenging month, since it is a bridge between the summer and the autumn. It's the end of summer, which is known, and the beginning of autumn, which is yet to be revealed. This is also a metaphor for ourselves. It is a month of potential contemplation. This contemplation is not easy. Yet the alternative to this is to return to our past actions and continue to do them again and again. Unless we stop and look around and change who we are. Elul has an aspect of healing. In ancient times, when people used the word health, it's different than what we apply to healing today. Today, when we talk about health, we talk about physical body ailments and diseases, pandemics, God forbid. In the ancient meaning, health relates to anything that is not healthy, whether it's your body or your soul, your relationships, your businesses, your trade, the countrywide discussions. Healing is anything that is not perfect. Anything that is not perfect can be healed during the month of Elul. Anything that takes you away from balance needs to be healed. The month of Elul, the Virgo, the Virgin, Betulah, is a month of purification. What is purification? It's the removal of the physical attachments we have become accustomed to. The extra weight that we put on because we ate unhealthy. The relationship that is struggling to be maintained. The business, all these things and more can be purified, can be returned to their pristine state. The ancient tribal connection was Zebulon. And what does Zebulun has the meaning of a flow or a gift. There was only one true meaning of gift. That's the gift of the Torah. The tribal land of Zebulun was near the sea. the sea from which came the dye from the sea snail that produced the color tehelet. Used in the blue string used for the tzitzit. Zebulun used this wealth to assist his brother tribe of Issachar when their crop failures made life for them difficult, meaning it would be hard to study Torah. So they made an agreement, one brother to another, one human being to another, one tribe to another, one nation to another. I will help you when you need me. What you do that is beneficial, will you share what you do with me? And the agreement is yes. The modern tribal connection is God, Yimul Dalit. The totem is Yabasha, the seashore. Look at the spelling of Yabasha. Yud Bet Shin He. Look at the meaning of the letters. The Yud is a connection to Hashem. The Yud represents the actions. The Bet is the house, the vessel. The shin is the passions, and the hay is the physical world, or it's the world that is coming. It's your consciousness that decides. The seashore is a boundary, just like a luel is a boundary. The tribal stone is a diamond. The diamond is so valuable. But if you really look at the diamond, it's only valuable because of the monopoly between the South Africans and the Russians. They agree to keep diamonds off the market. They pay effectively slave labor to produce the diamonds, and then they keep them sealed away from society. Because if there was no monopoly on diamonds, the value of the diamond would only be for its hardness and its clarity, not for what it means on a woman's finger, the love of her husband. So much could change. So much is in the process of being changed. Will you join that change? The tribal herb, ketzia. There are two ways to translate ketzia. It can be translated as the upper worlds, or it can be translated as see the end. What does it mean, the end? The end is a code word for the Mashiach time period, the footsteps of Mashiach, which is chaotic times. We are living in those chaotic times, the footsteps of the Mashiach. Every major student of Torah agrees that that is what's happening in our generation. The house is the house of Hakoli, Beit Hakoli, the house of illness. The house of the potential healing. The essence of the month of Elul. It's a month of details. It's a month of judgment. It's a month of knowing what mistakes we made. Elul comes from a very famous phrase, Andi Ledodi Vidodi Li. first letters of this phrase, of the four words, and it spells Elul. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, the usual translation. I am to my beloved is to me. What is the relationship to my beloved? Who is my beloved? For the month of Elul, the beloved is Tishrei, the month of holidays. For you and I, the children of Israel, the beloved is Hashem. I am to Hashem as Hashem is to me. If you do the judgments of yourself, Hashem does not judge you on Rosh Hashanah. He's given us the tool of the shofar. But what do we do with the shofar during Elul? We start on the second day of blowing the shofar. Every day, except for the last day, we blow the shofar in Elul. The last day of Elul, we have this ridiculous statement. We don't blow it on the last day because we want to confuse Satan. He won't know what the last day of Elul is. He won't recognize that the first day of Tishrei has arrived. Of course, Satan is not that foolish. There are other reasons why we don't blow the shofar on the last day of Elul. But for the first 28 or 29 days, we're blowing the shofar. Why? What does the shofar do? It wakes you up. We can go into all kinds of study about the shofar. But the basic issue is during the Slichot, we will blow the shofar. We blow it at the point we state the 13 attributes of mercy, because we want to awaken the mercy of Hashem rather than the judgment that is existing in the period. But it's not that we want to awaken Hashem's mercy. We want to awaken ourselves to prepare to receive the mercy. There are other mitzvot that we do during Elul. Twice a day, we sing the Psalm 27. Again, it's an item we can go into in great detail to understand why, or we can just do the action. The more you learn about Psalm 27, the more content you will be in doing the action. But even if you just do the action, because you know it's part of the mitzvot to do in Elul, you will be awakening the mercy in your direction. There's another recommended action. Should I call it a mitzvah? Yes, it's a mitzvah. Starting yesterday, the 29th day of Av, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, we start to read the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar. And between now and the 10th day of Tishrei, the 40 days that represents Moshe going up to Mount Sinai to be with Hashem, to receive the Torah, to have it, to induce Hashem to forgive the children of Israel for the golden calf. He's there for 40 days, and he receives a Torah. The Luchot, the second set of tablets. He broke the first one to prevent us from achieving adultery. Because if we never receive that first set of Luchot, the first set of tablets, there was no adultery in going after the golden calf. But he went up and he induced Hashem to forgive us. He was taught the 13 attributes of mercy from Zeron Pin. And he brought down the second set of tablets on Yom Kippur. So we study the Tikkuni Zohar for these 40 days so that we complete the study. We have available to us, for the first time in history, a translation of the Tikkuni Zohar into English. We have available to us the Tikkuni Zohar, all 70 explanations of the word Bereshit. That's what the Tikkuni Zohar is. That's what we learn. It's a mitzvah. So we will connect to the different aspects of the Tikkuni Zohar. Those who want to do everything, and it's not recommended for people of our level to do everything. We're not righteous. We can only do what we can do. And we will do more this year, this coming year, than we did last year. Just as this last year, we did more than we did the year before. What do we do during Elul? We learn and we do the actions of Teshuvah, the actions of returning the lower hay of Hashem's name back into unity with the Vav and the Yud Hay, the upper worlds, and the Vav, Zeron Pin, the unity with our physical world. We have to reattach that letter hay to the Vav. Why do we have to do it? Because we're the ones who separated it. Every time we did a negative action, we created separation between the hay of the physical world and the Vav of the spiritual world. Teshuvah is returning the hay, reattaching it, and starting the flow of Shefa at its greatest capacity level. And we will do a Rosh Chodesh connection with the permutation. And I will explain that later in the class. I can't believe how much time we have gone through. And I hope you'll forgive me for keeping us going. Because I'm trying to explain to you what is the month of Elul. It's the month of self-reflection. It's the month of reattaching the lower hay, the physical world, to the Vav. It's the month of spiritual actions of Teshuvah. It's the month of doing more than we did earlier in the year. Every day in Elul is a high energy day. It's not a holiday. There are no holidays. But there is a connection to higher energy. Because as the new year is approaching, the unity of all of the worlds is coming together to that moment on Rosh Hashanah where we all pass away, meaning the person that we were this past year passes away, leaves, and creates a new person who is ready to do the spiritual work of the righteous, of the tzaddikim. And until we make that same mistake again that we did last year, we start out as a tzaddik, and we remain a tzaddik as long as we do the positive actions. We need to understand the idea of the slichot. In modern Hebrew, if I say to you, slicha, which is singular of slichot, I'm saying, excuse me. But why would I ask your forgiveness? Why would I ask you to excuse me? Because I stepped on your toe? Because I did some kind of slight action of pain? And you felt that pain? Slicha has the same gematria as cleansing. Tzach, Tzadichet, 98, the number of curses in the Torah. The cleansing associated with the month of Elul, of Teshuvah, the returning of the hay. Slichot is a ritual that cleanses your attachment to physicality. Where did this attachment to physicality come from? It came from your mistakes, from your sins. It came from your actions that were selfish. You're human, that means you were selfish. I have many students who say to me, no, not me. I'm not selfish. All right, you're not selfish. But you're hanging out with a teacher who's selfish. So it rubs off on you. Recognize it. Everyone needs to cleanse their attachment to the physical pleasures so that you can have the new year free of that superficiality. There is no comparison to a physical pleasure like sex, like cherry pie, like chocolate cake, like Shabbat. There is no comparison to a physical pleasure in comparison to the pleasure of the spiritual work, the mitzvot, studying of the Torah, the living of the Torah. But don't take my word for it, because I can't prove it to you logically. But pick your own intuition. Look deep within you during Elul and ask yourself, what's more important to you? Physical pleasures by shopping at Walmart or at some extravagant store like Tiffany's? Some absolutely fantastic restaurant and food made by the best chef in the world? All of that pales in significance for the pleasure Hashem has put away in storage for us. The organus, the hidden light, the concealed lights. Prepare yourself for that light, because it's coming. And what will happen? Those who are connected to physicality are going to find it burning them. That light of the sun will make that sunburn on the first day of summer, like we've all experienced, how painful that sunburn is. That light of organus, if we are not ready, that sunburn will be unbelievable. And it's coming. If we are ready. If we are ready, then the pleasure of that sun, the pleasure of that organus, the light of redemption, there will be no words to express our joy and our pleasure. What are we to do during Elul, the spiritual accounting for the past year? What mistakes did you make? Add an increased forgiveness on the part of your daily spiritual practice. Do your accounting for the past year and forgive those who have harmed you. And ask forgiveness for those you have harmed. Send out your New Year's notes. Be thinking of all those people you didn't see this year. All those people who have lost loved ones through the pandemic. Have you expressed their condolences? Have you asked them to share with you the joys of your life, as well as the condolences that you require? And increase your study of the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar, and recognize what's involved in the concept of 70 different explanations of the word Bereshit. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach, and making our connection to the permutation. In the sixth verse of the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Yemincha, Patir Aleph Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. This connects, these six letters connects to their gematria of 506, the same gematria as Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Who do you love unconditionally? Hashem loves you unconditionally. Every time you go against his recommendations, which we call mitzvot, every time you do an action that hurts one of his creations, he still provides you. He provides you your shelter. He provides you your food. He provides you your loving relationship to your family. He provides you your children. He provides you your friends. He even provides you your enemies that you need to learn to love. As we learned, we studied, and we were reminded this week, have your friends close and have your enemies closer. All of this comes from Hashem and his unconditional love. Emulate the act. Attributes. Kabel rinat amcha sadvedu Ufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. The six letters spell two Hebrew words. Cross Satan. Tear up Satan. Rearrange the letters to remind you. Cross Satan. Sha'ar Katan. Small gates. Reminding you to guard your gates. To put judges and policemen on your gates. The eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth. Because this is the entry point for the negative system. If you keep them out, you never become someone who is not a righteous person. You never do any negative actions. Put the guards and judges on the gates during Elul, so you never make the mistakes in the coming year, and you have the merit to receive the organos, the light of redemption. Nagibor Dorshe Udha Eva Shamre. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters have a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word Zan, Zion Nun. Not Zan is sustenance, but it's not the sustenance of how much money you will earn, although that's what will take place on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem will decide you're going to have so much money in the year. But through his mercy, he doesn't give it to you all at one time, because you'd abuse it. Money is energy. The sustenance is the fulfillment of your desires. And in his mercy, he asks you to pray to him daily, so that what he gives you in money, what he gives you in sustenance, is what at a level that you can handle, so you don't abuse the energy. Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence where you can take every part of your body that needs healing, every part of your relationship that needs healing, every part of anything that needs healing, you can take it out. You can look at it. You can restore it. You can heal it. You can cause it to work perfectly. And then you can put it back in your body where it will stay working perfectly until you make the mistake of harming it by doing harm to someone else. Barchem tacharem rachame sikatha betet reish study taf gimel. This sequence, these six letters, are connected to the Sephirah of Netzach. And what is the essence of Netzach? Eternity. Do you want to live eternally? You don't have a choice. Your soul is going to live eternally. But as we discussed in the Deep Zohar class today, will you live eternally as yourself? Or will you be broken up into components and recombined into a different soul, a different person? If you evaluate yourself during Elul, then you're the one creating that different person. And you save Hashem the work. And he appreciates you saving him that work by providing you all of these pleasures, these spiritual pleasures that are waiting for you. You just have to do the teshuvah. Very simple concept, very difficult to do. But you can do it. And that's what brings you to eternity. That brings you to eternal life. Tassin kadosh berov tu na'el adata pet kuf bet pet nunayan. These six letters connect you to the Sefirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation, thankfulness. Are you thankful? Do you appreciate? Do you appreciate the person who slaps you in the face? Because that person is coming from Hashem, and Hashem has given him the thought to slap you in the face. Do you appreciate what happens in your life? Both the good, which is a lot easier to appreciate, and the bad, a little more difficult to appreciate. But appreciate is what we have the desire to do, because that's how we remove bread of shame. That's how we return to the endless world. Are you ready to go to the endless world? Are you ready to have your 1,000 years of peace and serenity? Are you ready for Mashiach? Are you ready for the redemption? All you have to do is appreciate what you have and be thankful for what causes you pain. Yes, it's called Cuckoo Kabbalah for a reason. But it works. Yachid ge'e Amcha p'nei Zokrei Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Ku. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod. Yesod is creation, creativity, sexuality, the greatest pleasures of the physical world. Please rise as we make our connection to the permutation and the letters of the month of Elul. The letter Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet that represents the Organuz, the light of Hashem, because the first two letters of Kohav is Kafav, 26, the gematria of Hashem's name. And the last two letters, Kafbet, the 22 letters of the Hebrew Aleph-Bet. Everything in creation is either vessel or light. Kohav, the planet Mercury, represents the unity of the light, which is the fulfillment of the desires of the vessel. The Resh is the letter that created Mercury, the planet Mercury, the planet associated with Elul. The letter Yud, the first letter of Hashem's name. The letter Yud, which is the action, the letter of action. The letter Yud created the constellation Betulah, the Virgo, which is the Virgin, which is the ultimate level of purity. having gone through the cleansing and returned through teshuvah to the level of purity. The Resh and the Yud have a gematria of 210. And 210 is the Hebrew word redu. As the Torah tells us, Abraham redu to Egypt. Abraham went down, redu, went down to Egypt. What is Egypt? It's not the place with the Nile River. It's not this country that we call Egypt. Egypt is a narrow place, a limitation in our lives. Metzar, as Rabbi Nachman teaches, the world is a very narrow place. Redu, the month of Elul, is going down because Hashem comes down and makes himself closer or herself closer to those of us doing the Teshuvah. He is supporting the Teshuvah through his closeness to us. Can you feel it? Can you appreciate it? Can you utilize it as a tool to grow spiritually? Please rise and dance and feel joy as we say together, we sing together. The permutation of Hashem's name. Hey, hey, why, yo. 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 Are you dancing and singing? Hey, hey. The first two letters of the Gematria, Shin and Kuf, of 400. representing the four worlds in their complete structure of 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The last four letters connect to the same as the first verse, 506, Ahavatinam, unconditional love. What do we learn from this teaching? That the path to completion, which is perfection in our lives as tzaddikim, this path to completion is injecting unconditional love into every aspect of our tikkun, every aspect of our life, in every aspect of becoming a living Torah. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Grounding any excess energy that we might have drawn that we truly do not yet have the vessel for. Kodesh Tov, Shabbat Shalom. Are there any questions?
Kodesh Tov. Where? Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So you have Hey, Bob, Yod, but what is the other one you were saying? I don't see it on the handout.
The other one is?
The other permutation you were saying.
I was only saying Hey, Why, Yo. Hey,
okay.
Bob, Yod.
That's
the only permutation that applies in the month of Elul, and it only applies up until sundown on Friday this month, this year, because it's only during Rosh Chodesh that you have the opportunity to utilize the permutation properly.
Okay.
As we are taught, there are four steps to becoming a righteous person. There's four steps to doing a righteous act.
It's right.
Doing the right action, doing it at the right time, which is Rosh Chodesh. Doing it at the right location, and doing it with the right kavanah.
Oh, no.
And that's what we are doing when we say, hey, why, oh. We are becoming joyous. That's the right bhavana. The right location is wherever you are listening to this recording. The right time is Rosh Chodesh, Elul. And the right action is joining in community in this Rosh Chodesh events that we do each month. These are where our righteousness comes from, doing the mitzvot. Are there any other questions? Shabbat Shalom and Kodesh Tov. And
Kodesh
Tov,
Shabbat Shalom.
May we all have the merit to see the redemption. Tonight. And if for whatever reason it doesn't come tonight, may it come tomorrow night. And if for whatever reason it doesn't come tomorrow night, may it come soon in our time to remove negativity that we have created. Kodesh Tov, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.
Kodesh Tov.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Kodesh Tov.